Well, and I can't unravel everything like I tried yesterday about the word saved. Often we use that word. But what I will do is there's three texts I'll show that teach the origin of justification, the origin of faith, and then the origin of love that only comes from what God accomplishes in a person's heart. Now, how I will show this is simply go to the three texts, stay there, go through it, and then let you know that at that point, by the work that I will speak of, a person is justified, a person is a believer, and a person is actually one who loves the brethren. And those three things are all stated expressly in the same manner that I think afterwards. It gives something to think about, because I am intrigued how many people that claim to be of the same faith as I am, because Baptist gave me a Bible and told me to read it. And sometimes there's things when I teach it causes our mind really to be challenged. That's good. I don't see how that's going to hurt us unless you don't like to think. But I did hear a man once years ago say, "I can't remember the last time you preached and I didn't have to think to understand what you were saying." I apologize for provoking thought. But can you imagine we're at that point today where people don't want to think? Don't want to even unthink. Don't want to have to listen. Don't want to have to disagree. So, I think that's a shame, because it's not going to hurt any of us to think together. So, here's the mainstream adage. This is just something personal. When it first comes to see, I try again. Now, that's the mainstream adage. That's for the culture out there. Here's the Native American view, and I have to use that because I am one. But if at first you don't think, and think again, don't bother trying. And that was a result of a large study early on when our public schools were used to socialize my people, and your education system totally frustrated us. We didn't get it. We couldn't understand it. It was too abstract. So we finally decided, well, we didn't think the first time, and we didn't think again, so we quit. Okay? So bear with me as it's been difficult. I know you can ask anyone who's talked with me personally during this or after. You're different, you're strange, or you're frustrated, or you're whatever they want to say. But it may be more genetic than you think. So pray for me on that. But now here's a 1 John 5:1. I mentioned it, and this is going out to my good friend Jonathan, who told me I couldn't explain last night, and I couldn't because I didn't have time and I didn't want to. I wanted to go see my wife. So. And he's only, you know, he's like my kid's age, so I was ready to go home. But everyone who is believing, and that's a sustained believing, that Jesus is the Christ that has been previously generated out from the God. Also, everyone who is loving the one who generates should also be loving the one who, having been generated, remains generated out of him. Now, I don't know how much you have to know about grammar, but in 1989, 21-something years ago, in a very elementary Greek class, grammar class, introductory grammar class, the book of 1 John, after your first two semesters of basic grammar, you're told, now you can go to the book of 1 John and begin translating, because it's one of the most simple grammatical letters. It's only five chapters, and it's very elementary grammar. So, this is not anything that required me to attend to the special levels that occurred 20 years later. This is just one of the most elemental letters of all of the scriptures. And it shows here that this sustaining believing was a previous result of antecedent action generated out from God. Now, I don't really know at that point, that's where even in our faith we declare that this is God's eternal purpose and a mystery. We don't know how to explain, except that the Spirit of God does. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be generated out from the Spirit. And that Spirit is God, and here God's mentioned here. And it says, the one who loves, the one who generates, which we are now seeing God is described as the generator. That's the word usually born. And it also is loving the one who, and again reiterates, describing the child of God as having been generated, remains generated out. Now, here's another translator, because I accepted Pat's admonition when he said there's other translators that don't translate things as I did in certain cases, and he may very well be correct. I haven't read all of them, nor do I think one has to find something I said yesterday unique. But here it says in the Young Literal Translation, everyone who is believing in Jesus the Christ of God, he hath been their perfect and fit to God. And everyone who is loving him who did beget doth love him also who is begotten of him. So there's the half been, which is perfect tense. And here's the ESV, which is, I've never read it. It's an English Standard Version. You can read it if you want by one or waste your money, but go ahead. But it says, everyone who believes in Jesus the Christ has been born of God, has been, that's perfect tense. Everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. Okay? And then this is the Young Literal Translation. That's Robert Young. I think he's the guy who had the concordance out there, Greek concordance. I don't know. I don't care. But. And then here's the English Standard Version for information. I'm not recommending you use it or go get it. I'll just say that was it. And then 1 John 2:29. Now, saying that faith came, a sustaining faith, not the kind you see today. You ever seen episodic faith? Jesus described it in the parable of the sower. It hits shallow soil or rocky soil, and it springs up for a little while. And as soon as a little sunshine hits it, it goes away. And if it gets hot in here, please adjust this thermostat, okay? But anyway, so then we have faith or believing. And that did not result. It was a consequence. If I can make that any clearer, it's a consequence of being generated, not a cause of being generated. Again, I didn't decide that sequence, the grammar of the Greek Bible, the New Testament did. Now it says here, you should have noticed that he is a righteous one. He's speaking about that unction, referring to the unction they had there in 1 John where they did not need to be taught. But they had that inner guiding disposition to lead them to the truth. He says, if you are knowing that everyone who is doing the righteousness, and that word righteousness is the same word for justice and justification, has been previously generated and remains generated. It's perfect tense. And again, I know that's elementary, and you can talk to anybody about that. It's just that text is that simple of a level of grammar that they turn loose to elementary grammar students on it. And I was turned loose on that book in 1989. And it was so easy that if you ever want to get back up on your elementary grammar, you go back and just retranslate the five chapters, and it only takes you maybe, you get up to doing where you do about an hour or maybe. But it shows where this doing of righteousness occurs as a consequence of God generating someone. Now, I don't know how or why people would presume to know how to explain that. It's God's Spirit, as Jesus told Nicodemus, that does that work. Now, here's those other translators. Yes, so if you know that he is righteous, you make sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been in perfect tense. And then in the Young Literal Translation, have been begotten in perfect tense. And I really hate to do that, but as implied yesterday, I can see why people would suspect something unique, and where would we get credibility. And so we always go and look up other people's works, but it's there. You can look it up anytime you want. You can buy also a reverse interlinear that will give you the conjugation beneath the words independent of any particular person. You'll have the book. They also make an analytical to the Greek New Testament that will tell you that it's perfect tense and tell you what it is and how to translate it. And the reason why I say that is because I recommend that to people that use Greek in our church to use the tools and don't just wing it off of your memory. Verified with those tools. So now we've had faith as a consequence, sustained believing as a consequence of God generating us out from Himself. And we've had now the doing, sustaining, continual action of doing righteousness as a consequence of God generating us. And I don't say this is easy because even among the Baptists has encroached in my theory that the Baptists make a decision similar as you heard Pat in his testimony when he, like I was, just 10 years old. You're often led to just repeat after me and come and be baptized and join our church or whatever they say, but nothing actually transforms in a person's life. studies now have shown that extrinsic participation in religious activities in later years causes greater stress than if a person had just never got involved. And they're saying that if nothing inwardly changes, you don't have peace from God, the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the meekness, the temperance, and the faith, that there is no interior fortitude for the stages of life, especially the final exit. And now the studies are saying that they're trying to recommend to people that if you're not actually capable of a commitment, you'd be better off to stay away. It's a tragedy, because a tragedy in that statement. And I've met people multiples that seem to be battling the same problems. And I'm struck because it always seems to have a core which goes back to some decisionism or some formula that they've attempted of their own strength or power. But generation from above is by the Spirit of God. So as we continue, let us be loving one another, reciprocal love. Now, it's easy to love someone. It's just difficult to be in a reciprocal relationship. That's rare, especially when you talk about children of God. Most people, unless you're born from above, you don't love people that are born from above. Especially at a time and a place in the world, especially the first 3 centuries, where anything that looked like Christianity was slaughtered. It's like today, there are people that are of any semblance of Christianity, even symbols only, are being killed in parts of our world today. It's not because they were actual martyrs, as you would say, or we would say from our faith, but it's because anything, even that which is just symbolic, they're destroying it. And I think that's a greater indication of just how high a level of evil is spreading today. So unless God does something interiorly. But this says, let us be loving one another, because the love is out from the God. Very specific, the finite words. And everyone who is loving, that's continual sustaining, that's in the context of one another, has been previously, and that's that perfect tense again, and remains, it's a sustained, present, continual result generated out of the God. Because the work that started it, the Spirit that generated it, is the Spirit that sustains it. Unique in Christianity, the doctrine of being born from above, is the fact that the Spirit that does the work sustains that nature and condition of man. I mean, why after 21 years am I just as interested in God's work and His service? Well, it's not because I'm so much better than other people. Because God's Spirit is still working, and by His grace, unmerited by me, He's using my life that He created to serve Him and bring Him glory. Welcome. Welcome. Usually when people come in late, they have to stand up and tell us if their car broke down or who they are. I'm just playing. Everybody's staring at you guys. I thought I'd just break the ice. And it says also he is knowing God. So knowing God is certainly not the presumptive ones in Matthew 7 who had to introduce themselves. And I would tell you all, when you stand before God and you start to introduce yourself to Him, you might want to think about that. If you're clueless to the point that you have to introduce yourself, you might want to step back, because it's not going to go But here's where love comes from, the love of brethren. Here's where love comes from, the love of which the Scriptures speak that is sustaining, and you can read about that in Paul's letter. It's a love that endures all things of truth. It's a love that bears all things of truth in the context. It's a love that does not fail. It's a love that does not boast of itself. It does not seek its own interest. This is a particular love that is of the character of Christ. Other translators, love, may we love one another, because the love is of God, and everyone who is loving of God, he hath been their perfect tense, and doth know God. And that's Young's literal translation. Now, I hate quoting those, but deeper, I can see why some of you would need to have some multiple witnesses. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been in perfect tense. And the reason why I point that out is because, why God pointed it out in His Word and made it so specific and precise is for that reason. Because I know people today think more technically of our technology today than they do the Scriptures. I'll tell you something, the Scriptures aren't comparable to even our wonderful computers today. It's more accurate, more precise, and can be trusted more. And this is really... I should say this, and I mean it in a kind way, but this really is probably
people accuse me of being a Calvinist. And it's okay, I don't mind that. It's just, that doesn't mean you dealt with the text.
I guess you feel better. The Baptists that accuse me of it feel better because they haven't read the Bible. And when I tell people, well, he wasn't a Baptist. John Calvin killed Baptists. And Martin Luther killed Baptists. So I don't speak of those men who don't have the work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts that would reflect the love of brethren, since they didn't love the brethren. I don't speak of those men as those who were doing righteousness, justice, and justification, because they weren't doing that by excusing people that disagreed with them. And I don't speak of them as people born from above who were not believing that Jesus is the Christ. Because believing that Jesus is the Christ would not find your hand lifted against Aboriginal people. You would not practice genocide. You would not advocate a Holocaust. You would not provoke the Inquisition. Matter of fact, you can thank your Baptist brethren for your First Amendment. You can thank us for the Fifth Amendment. Amen. We were good citizens, and we even have the letters to this day advocating our desire to peaceably assemble and to not have to answer an inquisitor's questions. Can you believe that? The freedoms that we endure today because people were killed in this country. Horse whips, putting stockades. You know, witch hunting season is closed. You don't know that? You can't hunt witches anymore. And you know, there was a time when people were asking what's the limit on Native Americans when they were slaughtered. And one time, to tell you how bad people's hearts can be, those people that would go out and call the military would take a priest with them so that when they would kill the Native women, they could take the unborn children and sprinkle something on them, water, and say they were baptized and they'd go to heaven. And I say, you've got the character to make sure a baby goes to heaven. You wouldn't lift his hand to kill his mother. But where would that come from? Well, religion has ugly faces. And outwardly, it can be a terrible thing. But to say that at this point, a person is generated to believe, generated to love, and generated to do righteousness, and then to say that that person isn't born from above, or isn't in a direct relationship with God, is not possible in this book or this text. And anything that follows, of course, they would advocate fellowship and assembling. They would probably advocate baptism. They would advocate Bible study and reading, but not before generation, because the Bible teaches it comes first. And I'd like to use the word generated like Genesis. It's always first. But that point keeps us from, when we're saying the word saved, people mean all kinds of things. So be very specific when we're talking about generation, because that's what this is talking about. And with that, I've got a couple of minutes left, but I think I can close now, and any minutes I've got left to be for me having a prayer and a welcome. So, thank you.